again out of the Gospel according to St. Mark. In these passages, we deal with miracles and healing. If there ever was a time that we need to know God as a healer, it's right now. Sickness is all over the land, but God is still a healer. God is still a keeper, and God can do what nobody else can do. The Bible reads, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." Pick up at verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. The base of our thinking for our text this morning comes from the 35th and 36th verses. While Jesus was yet speaking, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain people which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And then as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. If we are to use a thought or subject this morning, we like to speak from the thought, no matter what they say, God has the last say. No matter what they say, God has the last say. One thing I found that we can acquire a lot of things in the world, but if you don't have Jesus, you don't know what real joy is all about. For there's something about Jesus. It makes a difference in our attitude, in our way that we look at things. Something about Jesus sort of gets our mind on the right track to know that he is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and he'll do just what we need him to do. The Lord is worthy this morning. We thank God. I thank God for another day's journey. Thanking God for allowing me to come into this house of worship one more time. And it's not by any of my merits. It's not by any goodness of my own. But it's by the mercy and the grace of a mighty God that I've been allowed to come and to stand before you one more time. And it's only by the grace and the mercy of God that God has given us this opportunity to just come together in praise and worship as we collectively thank God for all of his many blessings. God has bestowed upon us many blessings. He blesses us day in and day out. And sometimes we take the time out to tell God thank you. And sometimes we sort of just go about our merry way. And we tend to think that things are just supposed to happen the way that they does. But there comes a time we need to understand that we are a blessed people. And if it had not been for God being such a merciful God, we'd all be lost right now. When I think about what David said, when he said, this is the day that the Lord has made and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And we need not take it lightly because somebody died last night. We are thankful that we are yet counted amongst the living and we can say that we are still here, but there's somebody that left on that train last night. There's somebody left early this morning and somebody's going to leave here on today. And we don't know whether we're going to be here on tomorrow, so it behooves us to give God the praise while we have a chance. There are a lot of things that we might not be able to fix right now, but we can put it in the hands of God, and God can take care of all of our situations. That's what I love about the Lord is that he is able to do something about every situation that we might be in. And when we think about the fact that if nothing else, we got life, that's enough for us to be happy about right there. If your day started out a little rough this morning, at least God has given you enough time for things to get better. And if it hadn't gotten better, then you need to start thinking some positive thoughts and start putting it in your mind that it's going to get better than what it is right now. How many of you know that if you allow the devil to keep you down, then you're going to stay down? But if you get a mindset that I'm going to get up off of this stool of do nothing, I'm going to get up from here. I'm not going to be bound down by sickness. I'm not going to be bound down by the pressures of the world. I'm going to stand because I know who my God is. You got to know who God is. And God has promised that he'll never leave us. He said that he would never forsake us. God's promised to always be right there. And I don't know about you, but I've always believed that I could depend on God. If you are a believer, if you are one of those that say the Lord is your shepherd, then you ought to be able to trust him. You ought to know that you have the answer. You have the answer to everything that's going to happen in life if he is your shepherd, because as your shepherd, he watches over you. Now, as you go through your trials of life, that's just like when you get to that fourth verse where it says, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Every now and again, you are going through your shadow of death where you're having trials and tribulations and struggles and issues. But you got to understand that did not he say, I'll be with you? So even though I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to have no fear because he said that he'd be with me. He'd walk with me, his rod and his staff, they would comfort me. He said that even in the presence of my enemies, even when the one that don't like me, even when the one that calls you everything but a child of God, God said if he is your shepherd, then you still don't have to worry about it. Because he'll even prepare a table right there in their presence. And then he'll give you a mindset to have, come on, have a little bit of my food. See, that's what God does. When we are really believers in the power of God, we learn how to get over hate. We learn how to get over the fact that you misdid me or you miswronged me, and I got to go a little bit above that. You ever heard somebody say you got to be the bigger person? And sometimes we feel to get the mindset, if I'm the bigger person, then I'm the weaker person. But no, that's not the case. If you are big enough to say that I'm sorry, if you're big enough to say, well, I'm going to just let it go and I'm going to try to get back together. That old enemy, he might get mad. He might put wind in his jaw. But one thing I know is he can't stop you from loving him. If you get in your mind, I'm going to forgive you, then you can forgive somebody whether they want to accept it or not. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? There's some time when you go and you try to make amends and you go up to a brick wall. But all you got to do is know that I've done what God requires me to do. You go on and do what God tells you to do, and then you walk away with peace in your heart and with a smile on your face knowing that I did the best that I know how. How many of you know everybody's not going to try to get along? Everybody that come to church don't even love God. Some of them still trying to get to know God. Then those of you that think that you know him so well, it doesn't give you authority to stand and to think that you're above somebody else. No, it is just because you get up and testify, I'm saved and I'm sanctified. Well, you're saved from something. That means you've done something wrong in your life. Anybody in here ever done anything wrong? Oh, I got an answer for you. Oh, yes. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But how many of you know we serve a merciful God? If it wasn't for the mercies of God. See, that's what we get away from. We think God owes us something. We think because he's a loving God, he just ought to do it. But the reason why he does it is because he's merciful. He realizes that we don't really have an idea what we're doing sometimes. How many of you know every now and again you dig a hole for yourself? And sometime when you dig that hole, you dig it a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper. And before long, you're going to be covered up if you don't know. But there comes a time that you have to go to that old song when they talked about shouting John. They told John they didn't want him shouting and they threw him in the well. And then something about the goat, how he kept on throwing dirt on the inside. You got to learn how to pack some dirt up under your feet. And stop worrying about the he say, she say, they say, and what everybody else say. And find out what did God say about the situation. He said you wasn't going to be nothing. But God said you are the apple of his eye. Hallelujah, Jesus. Somebody don't hear me this morning. God loves us. And God will do anything that needs to be done in our lives. But one thing we got to understand is that you got to be careful and watch out for the tricks of the enemy. He's out to destroy us any way that he can. By any means necessary, the enemy is going to try to rob you. Sometimes we find that we got to realize that he plagues us with sickness and disease. Sometimes we got to realize that it's the enemies and the strangers, our finances, and sometimes sickness. All of these things tend to bring us down. And then those of us, a great percentage of the world's population is health conscious. We talk about exercise and we talk about eating right. But yet with all of those that are health conscious, we realize that we are still obese. We are still plagued with all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. But I thank God that he has all power. I thank God that he's the one that's still in control. I thank God that when things happen in our life, we got to learn how to talk to the Lord. But some of us just don't know how to talk to God. Some of us realize or act like God is so far away. But I come to share with you this morning that he's right by your side. Sometimes you think that I got to have fancy words to talk to the Lord. But I come to let you know that all you got to do is open up your mouth. You don't have any fancy words. You don't have to know a whole lot. All you got to know is the name Jesus. Anybody know how to say, oh Lord, have mercy on me? Anybody ever had to call on God? Sometimes in the morning, sometimes in the noonday, sometimes in the midnight hour, sometimes when you seem like nobody want to be heard and you can't get nobody else on the telephone, but you begin to talk to the master and say, Lord, I just want to have a little talk with you. I realize that I just can't make this journey all by myself, and I've been going through trials and tribulations, and God, I need you to help me because I don't have any friends. That friend I thought I had, he turned his back on me. The one that said that they love me, they stabbed me in my back. And I found out that everybody that smiles in my face, some of them are talking about me behind my back. But I found out that that's going to be all right, because I know a God that's as high and he looks low. I stopped by to tell somebody this morning about a God that sits high and he looks low. I stopped by to tell somebody that the Bible says you have not because you ask not. Then the Bible tell me that some of us ask amiss, meaning that sometimes you got the wrong attitude. Sometimes you got the wrong motive. Sometimes you ask for something that you don't even need. Sometimes you ask God to bless you in your mess, but you better watch out what you ask for. Somebody said, be careful what you ask the Lord for. I heard what King Solomon said, that there's a time to speak and a time to be quiet. But I don't think we know when to hush our mouth. Anybody know when to shut up? Anybody know when enough is enough? But how many of you know that every time you tell somebody to be quiet, it seems like they just get a little bit more to say? You tell them, then I tell you to hold your mouth, they got a little bit more to say. I stopped by to tell you this morning that the Bible said, but I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, that they shall give an account of in the day of judgment. So you better be careful of mere feeble words, saying things that are not necessary, saying things just to hear yourself talk. You ever seen somebody that talk all the time? They talk so much they get tired of hearing their own mouth. I heard somebody say, when you say all you know, you ought to hush your mouth. But we got some folk after they say all that they know, they start beginning to comprehend some other things, and they fabricate some things, y'all. They'll make up some things and make it seem like it's just like this. They'll come around and tell you that it's this, that, or the other. But I heard somebody say that that little red thing in your mouth, it can get a whole lot of trouble started. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Everybody in here got a tongue in their mouth. And if God was God and would stop by and visit your mouth this morning and regulate your tongue, I believe everything would be all right. But let us see what James said. Even so, the tongue is a little member, boasted great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindred, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. so is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. Sometimes your mouth can mess you all up. Sometimes if you just learn to shut up for a minute and listen for a little while, everything will work itself out. But no, no, you got to run off at the mouth. You got to blab of this and blab of that. Well, I come to tell you that you're just doing what come natural. Because the Bible said, for every kind of beast and every bird, every serpent, everything in the sea can be tamed by mankind. But look at what the word said. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil. That thing in your mouth you taste stuff with. That thing in your mouth, hallelujah, that lets you know that everything got some taste to it. But that thing in your mouth, the Bible says it's full of deadly poison. Anybody know anything about that? Anybody know how your mouth can be poison? How you can go up against somebody? Didn't you just hear in Sunday school this morning that you can't be justified in running somebody else down? You can't be justified in saying something that you know is not right. You can't be justified when you don't stand up for what's right. You hear somebody running somebody down, and instead of you saying that is not correct, you just stand in the bandwagon and let everything go like it's going. That is not what God would have us to do. But you better watch out for that deadly, more poisonous mouth of yours. Some of us in here, the Bible tells us that we need to let God be God. But didn't mama tell you a long time ago that if you don't have anything good to say, then don't say anything at all? Anybody follow mama rule? Or do you just say what you want to say? How many folk in the house this morning say what you want to say? Can't nobody tell you what to say? Can't nobody make you shut up? I ain't heard nobody say amen. I thank you for the truth. Ain't no need to tell in a lying God, hear you. There are times when we repeat stuff that we don't know whether it's true or not. There are times when, because of what they say, we run around and say, and God would not have it to be like that. No matter what they say, God has the last say. Now, how many of you have ever heard that somebody was on the bed of sickness? And they said they're dead. You run and tell somebody. Oh, brother Dale, your buddy done died to make things better in your life. So the Bible says that one of the rulers, Jairus, came to Jesus. And he said, Jesus, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I want you to come and lay hands on her. And if you lay hands on her, she'll be healed and she'll live. Jesus went with him, and while they were on the way to the house, the Bible says that much people followed him and thronged him. So all of these people wanted to get close to Jesus. But the Bible declares that a certain woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years suffered many things from many physicians and had spent every penny that she had and still had got worse. But she heard that Jesus came. So when she heard about Jesus, the Bible says she got in the press behind and she touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Sometimes you can't wait on your blessing to fall out the sky. You got to get up and press your way towards your blessing. Too many times we just want to sit there and let God just bless us.
And sometimes God blesses us like that, and we're still too lazy to tell him thank you. But this woman realized that I don't want him to come to me. I'm going to him, and I don't need him to lay hands on me. I just want to touch the hem of his garment. And if I can do that, I'll be made whole. Straightway, meaning immediately, the fountain of her blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Didn't nobody have to come and tell her? Did Jesus heal you? Jesus didn't have to confirm that he had already did it. The Bible said she felt in her own body. If we would pay attention, we can recognize when Jesus is ministering to our bodies. Not only does he minister to our bodies, but he also ministers to our minds. But in a small, still voice. So sometimes you got to cut all the noise out. You got to cut the television off. Block out that negative conversation that's talking about nothing. And let them know I'm getting something right now, and I don't need to be bothered right now because I'm in a zone right now. When I get in my zone, I don't need nobody to come in my midst until God get through with me. When God get through, then I might be able to help somebody else. But look at here, this woman. As she went, Jesus knew that the virtue had gone out of him. He turned in the press and he asked the question, who touched my clothes? The disciple said unto him, Master, don't you see this multitude of people? How can we say who touched you? He looked around about to see the one that it had done it. There's something about Jesus. When you know that you've been touched by him, something down on the inside just won't let you hold your peace. There's something about Jesus is that when God has touched your body, you don't care who's watching. You don't care who's around. You don't care who's hunching and who's talking. But the Bible says she fell down at his feet and said, oh, Lord, it was me. I'm the one that touched you. I'm the one that touched your body and you made everything all right. And Jesus said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. He told her to go on away. Everything is going to be all right. But the Bible says as he was talking, then somebody from Jairus' house, they came and began to tell him that your daughter has already died. No need to mess with the master any further. You better stop talking to the master now. You need to go on back home now. Go home and take care of the business at hand. Because your daughter done already died. But I stopped by to tell somebody that they said that he died. But God had the last say. For the Bible said he, when he heard the saying, he said, she's not dead. All you got to do is believe. If you believe in the power of God, God has a way to make everything all right. I stopped by to tell you this morning that if you trust the power of a mighty God, they might say one thing, but God got the last say. When you go to the doctor's office, he might shake his head in despair. And he might say, I don't know what I'm going to do. He might even say, there's nothing else that I can do. But I want to let you know this morning, don't let that be the end. Know that God got the last say. Because as we look at this particular text, the girl had already died. But because God has the last say, because God has all power, the Bible says he took Peter, James, and John. Say, come on and go with me in the room. Everybody else got to get out. See, they were just a crying and a waving, just running and just mourning over the loss of the child. But God knew exactly what he was going to do. He went on the inside and he said, and he began to touch you. I'm the one that touched your body and you made everything all right. And Jesus said, daughter, thy faith have made thee whole. He told her to go on away. Everything is going to be all right. But the Bible says, as he was talking, then somebody from Jairus' house, they came and began to tell him that your daughter has already died. No need to mess with the master any further. You better stop talking to the master now. You need to go on back home now. Go home and take care of the business at hand. Because your daughter done already died. But I stopped by to tell somebody that they said that he died. But God had the last say. For the Bible said he, when he heard the saying, he said, she's not dead. All you got to do is believe. If you believe in the power of God, God has a way to make everything all right. I stopped by to tell you this morning that if you trust the power of a mighty God, they might say one thing, but God got the last say. When you go to the doctor's office, he might shake his head in despair, and he might say, I don't know what I'm going to do. He might even say, there's nothing else that I can do. But I want to let you know this morning, don't let that be the end. Know that God got the last say. Because as we look at this particular text, the girl had already died. But because God has the last say, because God has all power, the Bible says he took Peter, James, and John. Said, come on and go with me in the room. Everybody else got to get out. See, they were just a crying and a waving, just running and just mourning over the loss of the child. But God knew exactly what he was going to do. He went on the inside. And he said, and he began to talk to the young lady in her own tongue. And he said, damsel, arise and get up off that bed. She got up off the bed. Got up out of that dead state. And Jesus said, give this girl something to eat. She done got her hungry. She's weak in her body. If you want to give her strength back, give her some food to eat. I stop by to tell somebody that even if you're dead and gone, if the Lord sees fit, he can come to your graveside and tell you to get up out the grave. If you're down on the bed of affliction and the doctor said there's nothing he can do, Dr. Jesus can come into your sick room and make everything all right. He can regulate your body. He can cleanse you from inside out. He can make a way out of no way. I called on Dr. Jesus, and he came to our rescue. All you got to do is trust the power of God. Forget about what they say, and remember what he said. He said, I am the way, the truth of God. God has a way to make everything all right. I stopped by to tell you this morning that if you trust the power of a mighty God, they might say one thing, but God got the last say. When you go to the doctor's office, he might shake his head in despair, and he might say, I don't know what I'm going to do. He might even say, there's nothing else that I can do. But I want to let you know this morning, don't let that be the end. Know that God got the last say. Because as we look at this particular text, the girl had already died. But because God has the last say, because God has all power, the Bible says he took Peter, James, and John. Said, come on and go with me in the room. Everybody else got to get out. See, they were just a crying and a waving, just running and just mourning over the loss of the child. But God knew exactly what he was going to do. He went on the inside. And he said, and he began to talk to the young lady in her own tongue. And he said, damsel, arise and get up off that bed. She got up off the bed. Got up out of that dead state. And Jesus said, give this girl something to eat. She done got her hungry. She's weak in her body. If you want to give her strength back, give her some food to eat.